For a scripture lesson this morning, we would like to turn to Job, the 14th chapter. If you have your Bible, please turn to Job, the 14th chapter, and we will start reading at the 8th verse. Job 14:8. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet though the scent of water is will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant, but man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. This morning we would like to talk to you about this very question here that Job asked. If a man die, shall he live again? This is one of the questions that is most important in each one of our minds. It cannot help but be. As we walk through life today, do you ever stop to think and wonder, I'm dead and that's it? Now, if this was the case, we'd find many, many people in the world today saying, well, I'm going to get all I can out of life because I'm dead, and that's it. But we know, according to God's word in the scripture, that man will be resurrected again. We have three occasions in the Old Testament and some in the New Testament that was an example unto us. People were raised from the dead. And most of all, the important one was Christ was raised from the tomb. First of all, though, we must believe there was a Christ. This is the most important thing in our lives to believe this morning, that there was a Christ. We have more proof today that there was a Christ than we have of George Washington or anyone else. As we pick up our daily newspapers, we see a date on it. As you write your check, you write a date. Whether you want to believe in Christ or not, you are admitting it when you sign a date on anything you write. Because our time started back with Christ's time. Our calendars, our checkbooks, our newspapers, and especially our Sabbath days all tell us that there is a Christ. We believe there was a Jesus of Nazareth and a resurrection. We believe this true this morning with our hearts. And that each spring, Christians are reminded of the resurrection and hope. As the snow is melted away, and it certainly melted away fast this week. We had large drifts on Tuesday and Wednesday, they were gone. But as the snow melts away and the grass turns green and the flowers begin to bud, there is a resurrection in itself right there. Those were dormant. They were dead during the winter, but they resurrect during the spring. And this is the time of year that Christ rose from the tomb. I don't know whether any of you noticed several years ago in our Springfield newspapers, but the big headline one morning on the paper was, "To live after death try ends in confusion." This was the actual headlines on the paper. It seemed that there was a time capsule in Springfield invented, and this time capsule, an individual could be put in this time capsule if they were sick or if they were going to die. They could be put into this time capsule and frozen 320 degrees below zero before they died. They were put into this. And there it kept the body in a suspended state until, this was their idea, until man could find a cure for this individual who they were putting in the time capsule. Whatever disease they might have, which they were not able to cure at that time because the person was going to die, they would be left in this time capsule, and then when they found a cure, they would be thawed out, brought out, and cured. Now, this actually happened in Springfield. I don't know whether any of you noticed in the papers or read about it several years ago. But, oh, there was a lot of hurry and scurry, and they flew in some great scientists, and they flew in some great doctors and professors, and they were flying them all into Springfield, Ohio, to see this great thing that was going to happen. Well, you see here, man was trying to intervene in God's plan. right here. Man knew he had the answer. It was right here in this time capsule. Well, you know, they couldn't even find a doctor that would take part in this thing. They couldn't find a doctor who would give this person a shot to put him out, to put him unconscious so they could put him in there and freeze him. No doctor wanted any part of this. And some of the ministers, you should have heard some of their remarks around Springfield about this very thing. One minister said, theologians might have to rewrite and restate the physiological concept of immortality. The whole immortality thing, the whole subject, they say, might have to be changed. Yet we get it all right out of the Bible, right out of the Word of God. That's where it comes from. But here is a minister of the Word of God saying the whole thing might have to be changed now. Because man has found a way for people to live forever. Well, one group said they didn't want to be resurrected here on earth. I don't know whether they had enough of it the way it is or not, or what about it, but they didn't want to be resurrected back here on this earth again. But we know that Matthew 5:5 says, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth, and if you inherit anything, it is yours. It's going to be yours, and you'll get to keep it. Now, no one has inherited the earth yet today. You may be here today, and you may be gone tomorrow. So we have not inherited the earth yet. Another pastor said, I believe in an afterlife, but just where it will be is debatable. He says, I believe in an afterlife after we die, but where it's going to be, it's debatable. Now, if I didn't know, if the Bible hasn't told me where this is going to be, then I'd be wasting my time up here speaking to you friends this morning. Because I'd just be up here muttering around and saying, well, I think this is going to happen, and I think that's going to happen. But the Word of God is very plain, and there was no reason for this minister to make a statement such as this. We turn to Revelations 21. Revelations 21. And the third verse. He says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So you see, it says God is going to be with them. God is going to be with men. That's where he is supposed to be, and the Bible says that is where he is going to be. Now, there's all kinds of questions come up when this thing was happening in Springfield. Would we wish to live forever in our present body? This was the question they were asking. You should have seen the questions, the statements made in this newspaper all during this week of this thing that was supposed to really happen. And with man handling this situation, there was a big question. With man handling, who would get to partake of this thing? Who would get the chance to be? To live forever. Who would be the one that gets a chance to be frozen up and brought back later and be able to live again on this earth? If I had a real good friend and I was in charge of it, well, maybe I'd let him or something like that. Well, now see, God's plan don't work this way. God says, whosoever followeth me might have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth on me might have everlasting life. But no, they was in doubt. Well, who's going to be next on this thing? Would you have to get in line and so forth? And some said, if I die when I'm 80, I'll be ready to stay dead. Yeah, if I die when I'm 80 years old, I'll be ready to stay dead. But this is not our hope, friend. The Christian's hope is not this. The Christian's hope is someday you will be resurrected just as our Lord was resurrected. Well, some of them said, what's going to happen if I'm froze up for 200 or 300 years and come back? I won't know anybody. I won't have any money. What about this? Well, you know, they even had this situation taken care of. They said, well, all you have to do is go down and deposit $1,000 in the bank. Have them to freeze you up for 300 years, unthaw you, cure you, and bring you back. You know what you'd be worth? Who'd like to take a guess? You put $1,000 in the bank 300 years later, how much would you be worth with the interest piling up? $7 million. Now, I could see a race right now down there and say, fellas, freeze me up. I want out of here in 300 years with $7 million. And I'll just have a hoopty good time, wouldn't it? But yet, the papers, when they came out, try after death ends in confusion. They couldn't do it. With all the modern science they had, with all the modern things they had, they couldn't pull it off. They couldn't do it. I wonder why. Because God gave us a plan. God told us what was going to happen right here in this book. And if you will read the Bible and if you will watch your newspapers today, you will see these prophecies are coming, being fulfilled just exactly like the Bible and like God says they are going to be. Job says, if a man dies, shall he live again? And all through the Bible, God says yes. Jesus says yes. If you do a certain thing, if you follow me, if you obey my commandments, if you accept me as your Savior, you can live again. But man will never be able to get you to live again. Now, when we get sick a little bit, you know the first thing we do, we want to run to the doctor. Well, some people won't go to the doctor even when they're sick. Now, I know my wife, for instance, if she asks for a doctor, you can figure it on, she thinks she's going to die. The only time she'll call a doctor. And I seen her one night holler for a doctor. So you see, we have back in our minds, we want to live. We don't want to die. But we find all through the scriptures, it tells us that we must die someday. The wages of sin is death. We have to die. You know, there was a lady telling about one time she walked under a big oak tree. And there was a lot of the acorns that had fallen on the ground. And some of them were shooting and springing up. Little acorn trees coming up, about that high. But she said, oh, by the tree over on a rock, laid one of them, laid there, and she had watched it. It laid there for a long, long time. It had not brought forth a thing. It would slowly rot away and be gone. You see, it hadn't fell on the ground where it could actually decay and rot and die to bring forth another one. And this is the way with us. The Bible says that we must die someday, for the wages of sin is death, and we must pay this penalty. Yes, he put man in the garden many, many years ago, God did. He put man in the Garden of Eden. And he says, now you can eat of anything in this garden but the one tree. I don't want you eating of this tree. Well, man in them days is just exactly like man is today. If we tell our children or we tell somebody we know, now don't do that, that's the first thing you want to do. Or if we say, don't look in that package, that's all you have to do. If you've got a job you want the kids to do, tell them not to do it. They'll run right away and do it. Well, the same thing happened back in the Garden of Eden. God said, now don't eat of this one tree. And what did they do? They ate of it. He said, the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And man began to die that very moment. That very moment he ate of that tree, he began to die. And that was brought down through Adam, through our ages, all through the ages, that man must die for his sins. We'd like to turn to Hebrews a moment. The book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and the 27th verse, 9:27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, what these verses tell us? It is appointed unto man once to die. And then after you are dead, there's going to be a judgment, it says. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, unto them that look for Christ, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So you see, it says you're going to die. It says that he's going to appear again unto us. And then, we might say, we will have the judgment. In Ezekiel it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. All the efforts of man is not going to keep you from dying. You can get the best doctors, you can get the best medicine, and just about anything you want, and it doesn't matter how much money you've got to pay for this, those people still die. Eternal life, or immortal nature, is a gift of God. This is a gift of God through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. This is the most wonderful gift you could ever be given, eternal life. Because if you die, you shall live again. You're going to live one way or the other. Whether you're bad or whether you're good, you're going to be brought back. It tells us this in the Bible. To those who have done good, to a glorious life with Christ. To them who have done bad and not followed the way of Christ, it says to judgment and to destruction. We find it even says that we'll walk on the ashes of the wicked. So we find this is the story of man, what will happen to him. We would like to turn again to Romans, the second chapter, Romans 2, 7. To them who by patience, continuance, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. Now it says here, to those who have the patience and continuance and the well-doing, and they seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, but unto them that are continuous and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness and indignation and wrath, tribulations and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, also of the Gentile, be glory and honor, peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of person with God. Well, you see that we don't have to worry about who's going to be first, who's going to be last. If we are accepted in His plan of salvation, because it says here that there's no respecter of persons. So we don't have to worry, like they did in Springfield, about some man handling this situation and saying, well, put your name down. If there's room, you can get in. Or such as this. This is not the plan. This is not the way that God works. God gave His Son for all races of men. And this is what Easter is all about. There was an amazing thing about the death of Christ. As He hung upon that cross, you know, as He gave up the ghost and died, there was darkness over the whole earth for 3 hours. Those centurions, those Roman guards, those soldiers who stood there, when this happened, they said, truly, this is the Son of God. Then they believed. Now we hope and pray it don't take something like this to wake us up, because we can see our United States, especially, a country of sin, murder, strife, and going away from God. You know, they say a family that prays together will stick together. This is the trouble with our families today. They split up, the children pay for it. Last week in the little town of Mechanicsburg, just 6 or 7 miles from us, there was a couple who had separated. She sued him for divorce. He walked into town last week with a revolver and shot her. He killed her and then shot himself. Now this is the situation, and this is the things that our country is in today. But if we try to live by this Bible, if we go to church, sit our family goes to church, these things are not going to happen to us. We are going to know right from wrong the things that we should do. Also, the veil was rent from bottom to top as Christ hung upon that cross. And there was an earthquake. And all these things made them realize that they had crucified the Son of God upon that cross. Well, friends, I'm telling you, it says in the Bible, in the last days, these things are going to happen. Terrible times are going to fall upon us. Now, I don't know whether any of you realize it or not, but when that tornado went through a week or so ago, there was earthquake tremors here in our locality. Maybe some of you didn't realize that. In our town of Urbana, they were felt. There are earthquakes. It says there'll be earthquakes in various places, in diverse places, which means various places that you've never heard of them before. Alaska had earthquakes not too long ago. Never known to have earthquakes in Alaska. Now we're starting to feel the tremors here. So you can see, in places where we've never had earthquakes, they are happening. Just such as our Lord hung upon that cross, there was an earthquake. If may, the people believe. God gives us signs. He gives us warnings. And yet we pay no attention. We pay no heed to these warnings. I'd like to turn to John for a moment. John, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse. John 10:17 says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father." Jesus says, as I hung upon that cross, I gave my life freely. No man took this life from me. He says so right here in the 18th verse. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Because he says, I have power to keep it. I have power to give it. But Jesus hung upon that cross 2,000 years ago and was crucified because he died for our sins. He loved us enough that he would die for each one of us. And as he hung upon that cross, we know he said, "It is finished." He died that you and I might live someday. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, 12. First Corinthians 15:12. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" You see, they had the same trouble back in those days. There were those who were preaching that there would be no resurrection. There are those today who preach that there will be no resurrection. But the Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ not risen. Christ, it says, is not risen. If there be no resurrection of the dead, it says Christ has not risen. Yet how many people in this world today are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but yet they don't believe in a resurrection? That is the reason the Bible says that there'll be many called and few selected. Few chosen. Yet, many, many of us today believe that there was a resurrection, but yet we don't believe in Christ. So you see, it is important to each one, every one of us, that we do believe this. When we say to you this morning, have you thanked him for dying for you? You see, he died for you and me. He didn't die for somebody else, he died for me. That's what each one of us can say this morning. You know, we live in a world today of despair and discouragement, and we give up hopelessly. You know, a man is never a failure. It doesn't matter how many times he has failed. Man is never a failure until he admits it. Then he is a failure. You can fail many times in what you're going to do, what you're going to try to do, but you're never a failure till you admit it. You know, Walt Disney applied at the Kansas City Star for a job as an artist on the newspaper. And after about 4 or 5 days, the manager told him he might as well go home, he'd never make an artist. He said, "You're wasting your time." I think we all know who Walt Disney is. Well, he was told that. Maybe you didn't realize that Zane Grey didn't sell a story the first 5 years that he wrote books. The first 5 years, he never sold a story. Now, if he had admitted he was a failure and had quit, we wouldn't have our Zane Grey books today. George Gershwin. This might interest you. The first time he sat down to play the piano, they laughed him off the stage. They actually laughed George Gershwin off the stage the first time he sat down to play a piano. But you see, he didn't admit he was a failure. He went right back at it again. And that is the way in life with us today. We don't need to be failures. We can be right up there amongst the rest of them if we only try and want to do it. Man wants to take the path of least resistance today. That's the trouble with men. They want to take the path of least resistance. It's easier to go this way, do it this way, than it is the right way sometimes. So this is the way that he wants to go. No, we don't like to see any trace of weakness in any of us. Now here was a man who was crucified 2,000 years ago, who had no record against him whatsoever. He had no record of weakness. He had no record of failure. He had no record of mistakes. He did nothing but good. Good deeds for others. He didn't say them naughty swear words. But yet, here was the man that they took and crucified. You know, he never accumulated anything. He never owned a thing. Yet he was hated and despised by the world. In John 7:7, John 7:7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Now you see, the only thing he did they didn't like, he said, you people are doing things evil. You people are doing things which are not right. You should do it this way. And this is what they hated him for. Because he told them they were doing evil things and not the good things that they should be doing. Well, so many reject Christ. And we say to each one of you this morning that don't reject him. Accept him as your friend and Savior. In the fifth chapter of John, we read John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now Job asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? Jesus answered this question. He said, heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Yes, he says you're going to die, but you're going to pass from this death unto life. And verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So you see, the Bible says you're going to die, you're going to go to that grave, you're going to lay there, but they say the day is coming, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Isn't this a wonderful promise that we have here this morning? Oh, I know we'd rather have promises of worldly things, of money, of houses, of cars, and all these things, but here is the most wonderful thing that you can ever be given in life. The 26th verse says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Yes, as I told you a moment ago, we are all going to be resurrected someday. Some to everlasting life, some to judgment. And the 28th verse says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. All that are in the grave, says, shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So it's up to each individual here this morning. No one is forcing you. No one is twisting your arm. No one says you have to go to church. No one says you have to accept Christ as your Savior. No one says you have to be good. And sometimes our mothers and fathers tell our children this, we want you to be good, we want you to grow upright, yes, those things. But no one is forcing an adult this morning to do good. It is a choice that he has given each one of us, whether we want to do good or whether we want to do evil. And shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. What would you pay this morning? Would you give all you had in your billfold this morning if someone would walk up to you and say, Give me what you got in your pocket and you can have everlasting life. You'll live forever. You know, there's people foolish enough to think they can do that and will hand their money out. But it won't happen. They spent millions of dollars in Springfield, Ohio to try to prove this very thing. It didn't work. The big newspaper headline still said, "Life after death ends in confusion. Man will never be able to do it." Yes? Man that has died shall live again. The question is often asked, but we're answering it for you this morning. It tells us in the Bible, "If we confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." This is all he said. It is very easy this way for him to do. It is easy for us to accept Christ as our Savior. So many times we like to have the things of life, but we don't like to have to be able to do the things that God would have us to do. I have a poem here this morning I would like to read to you. "The way of the cross leads to God. He carried the cross to Calvary, carried its burden for you and me. There on the cross he was crucified. And because he suffered and bled and died, we know that whatever our cross may be, it leads to God and eternity. For who can hope with suffering and scars? For how could we face the living Lord and rightly claim his promised reward if we have not carried our cross of care and tasted the cup of bitter despair? Let those who yearn for the pleasures of life and long to escape all suffering and strife rush recklessly on to an empty goal with never a thought of the spirit and soul. But if you are searching to find the way to life everlasting in eternal day, with faith in your heart, take the path he trod, for the way of the cross is the way to God." Jesus died upon that cross for each of us. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us so.